And we're back with another episode of Black and a Half.
Wow. Yes. And did you hear that voice? That was Manny Martin returning.
Yes, it's been a while.
Returning guest from You're Off Getting Famous.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on another episode. But yeah, this one's more important.
This is an important episode.
This is a very important
episode. It's episode number 38.
Yeah.
Our good friend Nigel Larson is the guest. He's a comic originally out of Rochester, New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know that because you've seen his opening joke for years. It's from Rochester, New York, but he's a Seattle-based comic.
Yeah.
We'll take credit for him.
Yeah, we'll take credit for him. I feel like...
But he tours all over the nation, internationally.
Yeah.
Even. You know? So he's here. We have some good talks about... what are we talking about? We're talking about Nazis.
Nazi flags.
We have some good... I don't think we got too heavy or too... I think we beat too much into the ground.
He has a great story in there, and I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah,
you'll have to listen.
You got to listen to his border crossing story. It's a great one. It was a fun episode. It was fun. He's a good friend of ours. It was nice just sitting and having a conversation with somebody.
It had been too long.
You know, he's not selling a book or anything yet.
Yes, but when he does, you'll make sure you go buy that.
When he picks this imaginary, makes this imaginary book, you got to be the first in line. You'll be like, you know what? I knew he would write this.
You're damn right. It's
a Black and a Half.
They told us first.
Yeah, right here. Yep. Before it happens, we're like precogs.
We are. Well, I'm part precog.
Are you?
Yeah.
From the waist down?
With my premonitions and shit. Right.
You have premonitions?
Yeah.
I have premonitions.
We'll have to talk about it next time.
Now they're having premonitions. They're like, I thought I heard Nigel on there.
Hey. I feel like I'm having a premonition about what our next episode is going to be.
There we go. Hell yeah.
All right. Today's episode is brought to you by Monuments.
Yes.
Coming down this year, motherfucker.
That's right. Taking them all down. That's right. Racists. All over the world.
Big thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Properties. Thank you for letting us use your space for the studio.
Yes.
Record this and these wonderful people. We get them all the water they can drink. Also, thanks to
Silas Gets Real.
Please go to SilasGetsReal.com to check out any of your residential buying or selling needs. Check out, if you go to the Silas Gets Real Facebook page every Monday, I'm doing a trivia thing. Win a $25 gift card.
Get those gift cards.
I know it's trivia, but then it's like, I call it trivia, but you kind of just—it's kind of a guessing game, and some people bitch about that. They call it trivia, but it's not.
But it's your game,
and it's my game, and
your rules.
Fuck you. Okay, but buy a house, and then and part of the live comedy club. You're gonna be what do you got coming up there? You coming up in September? Are they letting you work again?
Yeah, let's see.
Are you too big
stuff
for them now?
I'm too. I got a Comedy Central credit now. I don't have to do shit.
It hasn't aired yet.
They can always cut me from it. So yeah,
probably. You are black.
I am black, so
I'm gonna cut the black guy.
Well, there's two others on there, and so they'll just go with
quota. They're over quota.
Yeah, they're like, we don't need the third black guy.
They'll just put Bo Johnson on twice.
Yeah, fair enough. He crushed it.
Let's do him again.
Yeah, just recycle it.
But September, do you have any dates there?
September, yeah, I have quite a few. I think Lonnie Love from Chelsea Lately.
Okay.
Rex Navarrete, Justin Ruppel featuring for him.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wait, you're featuring for Justin?
Yeah.
He's headlining?
He's headlining.
A weekend?
Just a Thursday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We got along great.
Yeah. Just come out.
He's looking for a videographer.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That might be you.
I'd rather just be someone's friend than their videographer. I don't come hang out with them.
Yeah, seriously.
Arsenio Hall's coming to
play. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I was on that. But then I gave it up.
You gave it up?
I did.
Is that like... So why would you give up that?
Because it was the person who got me on the Kevin Hart thing. So I was like, you know what?
Oh.
Let me repay the
favor.
You gotta
do the
I'll show up and I'll do that.
Dude,
arm out of the socket.
Guest spot or something.
I was on Comedy Central. Let me get a guest spot.
How you doing? I like his headshot from 1990.
Yeah.
When he was young.
Yeah.
He was awesome. All right. So yeah.
Take
so there
a
you
listen.
Go. That's it. Take a listen. Black and a Half.
Black and a Half.
Episode number 38, Nigel Larson.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by.
So my mother is visiting from Boston. She's here from Boston right now. And I was like, I'm going to go do the podcast tonight. And she's like saying, like, hey, you still talk to that black boy? And my daughter looks at me like, what the hell is she saying? She's like, what black boy? She's like, you know, the black boy. And I'm like, and she goes, Jack or Manny? And then I'm like, looking at her like, the only black people you know? Like, what's the black boy? She's like, oh, Manny.
Oh, I miss her.
She told me I should give you a kiss on the cheek for her.
Let's do this, man.
I was like, why would I do that again?
Come here, baby.
It's like, I don't kiss him on the cheek while I'm going down on him. That's weird.
Oh, man. How is she? Is she doing good?
Still married to her 30-year-old husband in Ghana.
Oh, man. You know? I tell you, this woman, you better not touch Silas. Do not talk to him. He is going to ruin our marriage.
I'm the captain.
I am the captain. The captain. He tells me that.
Can you say, follow me, I know the way?
Follow me, I know the way.
Wait, is that from that movie too?
No, I don't know. Is that?
I don't know. I saw it on like a Call of Duty. Like people were playing Call of Duty and somebody was doing that accent.
That's awesome.
And they're like, can you please just say that line? That's all I want to hear you say.
Follow me.
Follow me.
Wait, was that like, that was just a multiplayer? You're just playing and someone randomly says.
I was watching it on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
I was watching people play multiplayer on YouTube.
Well, that's the big thing now is like Twitch, right?
I just signed up for that. I tried doing it. I was like, someone started watching me for a second while I'm playing this Horizon.
Oh, okay.
Zero Dawn.
First off, I hear that's an amazing game.
It's incredible.
Okay.
It's so good.
Don't ruin it for me.
I stayed up well past midnight. I just want to play a half hour. I just want to finish that one little side quest.
And then there's a new DLC that they're bringing out for it.
I heard there was. And I was like, I need to finish the game. I think because I was about to enter something to do the last, component of the main game. Because it said, okay, go do this now, but make sure you finished any side quests or errands.
Right.
And I was like, shit. Well, I want to see what this thing does. And then I was out and I discovered the new thing.
Yeah.
And then I realized I hadn't been to parts of the map that had been revealed. And so then I ran into like a new village and I was like, it has all these new quests for me to do.
Shit.
I can't believe how just vastly huge this world is.
No shit.
And how it tricks you into everything. I'm blown away with it. I love it so much.
It's like, I mean, Terrence Parsons was talking about how great it is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, if Terrence says so.
I still remember playing video games at, like, Nigel's house when, was it your grandma and grandpa were upstairs?
Yeah.
And I was always afraid that they were, like, racist and I didn't want them to see me and shit.
Oh, no.
I know they weren't. They weren't,
did they have the Nazi flag?
No.
Yeah.
But not in a non-racist way.
Exactly. Well, my grandfather was stationed at Mauthausen after the war was over. He was in charge of burial, and he brought a Nazi flag back.
Wait, is he stole it from a Nazi?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Was he burying Nazis? No, he was. I mean, Mauthausen was a concentration camp.
Oh.
Ooh.
Now it got real.
Ooh.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah, so I actually visited there in Linz, Austria. So how about that Zero Dark 30? It was a really great place to be like an ice cream vendor. It was like the opposite of Disneyland.
At the Holocaust? They have ice cream vendors at the Holocaust site?
No shit. I guess it's because it's like a...
This is something.
Well, after you watch those videos, you want ice cream.
Oh, okay. You need something to like bring you back up and
feel good.
You just kind of want to sit and eat ice cream alone. Yeah.
Dude,
you just worked. How'd you get a summer job there?
I didn't get a job there.
Oh, I thought you were saying you went to visit.
I went on a trip.
Yeah, well,
you got a summer job as an ice cream man at Auschwitz? Is that what I'm
fucking
hearing?
Asshole.
Wow. Wait, so, okay. Now, do you still have the flag?
Oh, I do. It's in my car.
Now, are you nervous about it now with everything going on? Or are you a little like, I don't even want to carry it to my house?
Right.
Do I have a story for you?
Okay, we got
to
hear this.
So I was going to Canada, and I got stopped at the border because I'm like, I'm coming up here to work. And they're like, well, you're not allowed to just come here and work. And so, you know, it wasn't the main one at the Peace Arch. right. where they don't really give a shit. They just, they'll ask you a couple of questions and let you be on your way. Because it's a smaller one, they scrutinize you way more.
Right.
And so it's me and Chase Myers, and we just got, they just, fuck it, they separated us, they interviewed us.
Berated you.
About drugs, you know, and they're like, are there any drugs in the car? I'm like, well, I sure hope not, which is not what you say. And they're like, what happens if we find it? And I'm like, well, they're clearly Chase's.
Did you say that?
Yes. Like, I'm not going to go down for his pod. Right. And so then they search the car. And, you know, while they're searching the car, I'm like, all right, is there anything in there that could even be remotely suspicious? Because I know I don't have any drugs. But,
right.
But is there anything they're going to find? Well, you know, I have this, like, valerian root. That's in a bag. It's just green stuff in an unlabeled bag. Right. So, but it's tea.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they swiped it with their little swipe thing, it would clearly come up negative for drugs.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, no. I keep the Nazi flag in my car in case I do that bit at a gig.
Yeah.
So I just have a Nazi flag in my car, and they're searching my car for drugs. Shit. And so they come back in. They're like, well, we didn't find any drugs. We did find a Nazi flag.
Oh, shit.
And so you want to tell us what that's all about and, you know, why you're coming to Canada with a Nazi flag. And I luckily had filmed it in one of those things at Jai Tai. In a showcase set.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it on tape, and it was on my YouTube channel, like, hidden.
Right.
And so I had to pull up the video, and they watched it, and we're like, oh, all right. But that was like, you know, I was going to show them the video, and they're like, how about you just do the bit for us?
Right.
You know, for two border security guards in a lobby, can you just do the bit on the spot for us, you know, without the prop?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no. I mean, there's empty bars. It would actually be easier if there was 600 people here watching me do the bit than just two guys in body armor with guns silently judging whether this bit was going to be pro or against Nazis. And I was like, how about you just watch the video? And so they took my phone into the back room, and they came back, and they were like, all right, you know, from the evidence you showed us, you're totally fine to have this. This is a prop in your act, and you know, just make sure it stays that way.
Yeah.
And I was like, so what did you think of the bit? And he was like, it was pretty good.
That's awesome.
That's the important thing. They're hauling you away to jail, but then you're like, what do you think of the bit? Like, seriously.
Dude. Well, Chase was across the room, and he was like, what the fuck? Why do they want to hear him do a bit now? They were searching the car for drugs, and now they want him to tell them jokes.
Oh my God,
it was just like, and so
dance,
I had to tell
monkey,
him the
dance.
Dude, that shit is crazy. Yeah. And it's like when your parents used to interrogate you with, like, your sibling or your friend, and they separate you and try to get – you got to get the same story. Oh, fuck, man. That's so scary.
But what – I mean, that's just a great – you now have the – I mean, I'm glad we got it here first, because that's something you would have on Marc Maron or, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like the legit body – the story – Nigel's story of the Nazi flag. Like,
yeah. That is epic.
Yeah. Well, it's – I mean, the bit – is pretty. I haven't done it in a while, and I don't think I'm going to do it in a while.
Yeah, with
because of the current attention.
Because there's no. I think it's a good bit, and it obviously makes fun of Nazis, but people are emotional and stupid, and they're going to leap to the wrong conclusion.
Yeah,
and that's too bad because they could be laughing at Nazis, but as soon as they see a Nazi flag, well, they're like, "Well, you're a Nazi."
Dude,
there's
no,
they're not going to give you time to explain yourself.
That's the hardest thing right now is it's like being a liberal, but the overly PC liberals are like killing me right now. I'm like, fuck, you can't even have an opinion that doesn't agree with theirs without.
Well,
you know,
yeah, I mean, and that's one of the hard parts about comedy. Some of the best comedy is actually starting with something that people disagree with.
Exactly.
And then bringing it full circle
mm-hmm.
to something they agree with.
Right.
But you have to start with something they totally disagree with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the artistry is making the funny argument about how you actually agree with me.
Right.
But if you start with, you know, I don't think the N-word is racist, you can't, you're not going to get to the next sentence.
Yeah.
You can't make the funny, well, okay, I get what you're saying, and that's hilarious.
Right.
You're not going to get that far.
Right.
Because people are going to be like, oh.
Yeah.
They have to control the situation. And, you know, it's...
I feel it's tough right now because, like Manny, you and I and Jack, I think we, like, agree a lot on a lot of stuff.
Well, Jack, I don't know sometimes. Like.
Right.
I love
but,
you, Jack.
But, like, even, like, we're like, it's a joke, and I get what they're saying. I feel like people like us are more quiet, particularly online.
Yeah.
Like, people of color are more quiet about if they are like, well, I don't think it was actually that bad.
Right.
Than the people who are... Not, I don't want to say social justice warriors, but they're like, they're the keyboard
ones
warriors.
Offended.
Ones who are mostly offended, they're the most vocal on Facebook, not the people who are like, I don't actually think it was that bad.
Yeah.
I think.
So, wait, so you mean like you
like
feel
Tina
like.
Like Tina Fey thing. Like, everyone's like.
Yeah.
And you, like, I'm reading the stuff and I'm like, you're basically shitting on me for thinking it's not that bad.
Right.
Like what you're making it out to be. Yeah. And I think you're being ridiculous. And I think I don't understand it. And I made the joke the other day. Like, I don't see, I'll look at the news and be like, why the hell did this guy win? And then I look at the response to Tina Fey and I'm like, that's why.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why he won. Because I'm pissed off, and I agree with most of the things they're saying.
Right.
Imagine the people are still on the fence trying to come. I understand why they're just getting so pissed at everyone, telling them what they can laugh at, what can be funny, when they're pissing on people who are allies of your. And you're like, I don't like the way you're an ally. You slipped up a little bit.
Yeah.
I have a very specific set of rules that my alcoholism forces me to keep. And you have to abide by those, or I simply can't go on as a human being. And it's, I mean, I understand some of it, but that level of control, I think, you know, we forget that we have so much control over so many other parts of our lives that seeps into our social interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you think about how impatient people are with entertainment on YouTube, you get 10 seconds in and you're not entertained. You just go to the next video.
Exactly.
And to actually be live and have to sit through the whole bit to get to the payoff. I mean, to be out of control like that when you're so used to having, you know, you can watch anything you want whenever you want for however long you want until they cut off the power.
We've been conditioning ourselves for years to do this.
Yeah. And I mean, this is so many other parts of our society, kind of like we don't really think about how that affects our social interactions by all the technology and business that has really crept into what American culture is. I mean, it is business now. Mm-hmm. It's financial transactions. That's our culture.
Right. It was fascinating to me. We had our niece and nephew over the weekend, and literally, like, my niece didn't want to go outside, didn't want to play. She just wanted to, like, play on the Nintendo Switch. That's all she wanted. She was like, can I play Zora? I was like, what's Zora? And I was like, do you mean Zelda? And she was like, yes, whatever that game is, I need to play it now. And we were like, no, you need to, like, hang out. We're having family time now. But it's just like they want.
Why can't they have family time with Link?
Game. With Link.
Why do you got to do your family time,
dude,
Manny?
She was obsessed with a horse, and she, like, murdered, like, a horse. I was like, you can't even kill a horse in that game. How did you kill a horse? Yeah. So
well, it's so fascinating. I mean, some of this is information that I got from The Power of Habit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you look at all of the, like, really successful game companies, there are so many, like, PhD-level behavioral psychologists
at those places
that work there where they just programmed in habit loops.
Mm-hmm.
And
Candy Crush, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's if you look at the, like, Pavlov and all of those things where it's, you know, intermittent – positive reinforcement is the strongest thing to reinforce a habit.
Right.
And it will get to the point that you basically have screen addiction. You've set up a compulsive obsessive behavior in somebody where they simply, like, when they're not playing, they're mm-hmm. thinking about playing.
Dang.
And it will actually, I mean, this is an experiment they even did with, like, monkeys.
Yeah.
And it was as simple as just giving them blackberry juice.
No shit.
Like, they would have a monkey look at a screen, and every mm-hmm. time an image would come up, it would tap the screen, and it would get blackberry juice.
Right.
They actually were scanning the monkey's brains, mm-hmm. and they saw that it would spike. You know, they would get a big stimulus when they got the blackberry juice. But over time, they noticed that the stimulus actually got earlier and earlier.
Oh, wow.
It actually started.
Yeah.
When they saw the image, they're actually anticipating the reward of the blackberry juice. So their brain would spike at the stimulus
right.
before they got the juice. So the scientists started doing this thing where they show the image, mm-hmm. the brain would spike, and then they wouldn't get blackberry juice, and the monkeys freaked out. Freaked out. Or wow. they would get super depressed.
Yeah.
And it was this really, like, over-the-top emotional yeah. reaction to the situation.
Damn.
And we look at things like, you know, like, asking, like, once you get into that habit thing where you started something that you're trying to finish to get that reward in your brain.
Right.
Like, cutting somebody off in the middle of their video game or turning off Game of Thrones in the halfway through the episode.
Right.
Or, you
I
know.
Would kill a motherfucker.
Or, like. Oh, my God. You know, running to the room and abruptly stopping two people from having sex.
Yeah.
That there's something psychological where you have to finish
what you're, yeah.
The routine mm-hmm. so you can get to the reward part. And if you're robbed of that, your brain, the lizard, like the oldest part of your brain just fucking loses it.
Wow.
And it hits you at a level that, like, the rational, logical part of your brain would be like, well, of course I can, you yeah. know, it's just a TV show. I can watch the other half later.
Yeah. I can finish that vagina later.
Yeah, exactly. And
no problem.
When it just stops abruptly like that, yeah. You know, the emotional part of your brain that controls behavior, mm-hmm. you just fucking lose it.
Dude.
And then, you know, people were like, why are you acting so mature?
Yeah.
And it's actually a much deeper.
Brain science is so fascinating to me.
I will say, I've heard a baby crying yeah. while having sex and be like, nope.
Not tonight, motherfucker.
No, cry it out. I'm busy.
Work
I'm
your
busy.
Shit out.
Where every other time I'd been like, oh, gotta get up, go help them. And I'm like, nope, oh, too far now.
Man, you know, they did another brain study where they were showing pictures of, like, horrible things and then great things.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that the brain was reacting before the image would actually show up, but it would know, like, prior to it, like, what kind of image was coming up. So, it, yeah. like, your body, your whole body had a physical reaction that they were analyzing. Which
yeah, it
was
an anticipation. I mean, it was, like, the anticipation of Trump's inauguration.
Right.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
The month before he was inaugurated was so much worse
right.
than the first month he was in office
right.
because it was that anticipation of you didn't know what was going to happen
right.
and your brain just went, well, you know, the earth's going to split open
mm-hmm.
and demons are going to just fucking
right.
crawl out of the earth.
Dude, it still feels like that right now. Fuck, it's scary.
Well, no, I mean, it's weird because, like, it is bad. But when you look at, like, Venezuela,
yeah,
you're like, this could have actually been way worse.
Could be, yeah.
Look, white privilege, it's bad for us.
Well, no, it is. It is very bad. I mean,
it's
bad because we don't know what's going to happen, and he's totally not capable of handling.
I think the hardest thing for me is that there's people that still really support everything that he does, and they don't believe that he's lying to them. And me and my sister were actually kind of talking about people who aren't able to accept the truth. Like, case in point, I had two people when I was in the banking center, like, this was years ago. This lady was getting frauded by some guy in Nigeria, and she was like, oh, I just need to send my boyfriend some money to fly him over to the States. And I was like, how long have you been dating? And she was like, oh, about 3 or 4 years. And I was like, how many times have you seen him? And she's like, oh, I've never met him. I was like, okay, it sounds like you're being, like, scammed. And she was like, you know, can we just send him the money anyways? And I'm like, you still don't get it. Same thing with this older 90-year-old gentleman.
Who was also sending them that guy to Nigeria.
No, yeah, I know, right? No, he was actually, so similar situation. His wife had just passed away. And for, like, probably 2 or 3 months, he was sending this lady, that supposed lady, money. And he sent her, like, 90 grand. And he was like, oh, is it possible that I can get this back? And I was like, no, it's gone, man. And he was like, oh, okay. Well, can I send her another, like, 5 grand? I'm like, you don't get what is going on. And it's like, there's just people who can't cope with being told that they've been duped. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, there's, I don't know.
Or maybe you just don't want to be wrong.
I think that there's this weird, like, we tend to view, like, substance abuse mm-hmm. as being very different from, like, an abusive relationship.
Right.
But they're really very similar. I mean, if you look at being an alcoholic and a drug addict.
Right.
It's weird how much I hated drinking,
mm-hmm.
but I would still be at the bar every day.
Right.
Regardless of all the terrible things that happened, there were no bad enough things that could happen that would make me leave alcohol.
So let me ask you this. Was it like, was alcohol present when you were growing up? Or?
My parents drank a lot, but was
it ever like a negative thing?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I was straight edge until I was 22.
Right.
So I didn't start drinking actually until I started stand up. actually, I didn't start drinking until after I quit video games.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then when I started drinking, I didn't really play video games anymore. Mm-hmm. And then since I've quit drinking, I've played a lot of video games.
Yeah, man.
Hey. Even the bad ones, like Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, God. But, I'm too afraid to even, like, after the third Mass Effect, I was like, I was let down with the ending, and was like,
if you can imagine Star Trek Voyager,
oh, okay,
just like the worst Star Trek.
That's good.
Or all right, name the
Star Trek Enterprise.
Enterprise, you thought? Oh, Enterprise
the new
was bad?
One. Not next
oh, the new.
Gen-
oh,
next
I thought
generation.
Next Generation. I was like,
no.
The new one where they have like a Western theme song, not
yeah,
a Western,
the
but like
Bacula,
a country.
Bacula's one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Bacula.
Right,
Captain Archer.
And. Yeah, it's basically like that, but in Mass Effect, where it's just a really, really
right.
bad.
Ugh.
So anyway, race relations.
oh, man. Did anybody play a Powerball ticket tonight?
No.
No? I guess we're kind of dating ourselves.
I'm in recovery. I can't gamble.
You can't gamble?
No.
Man.
Is that gambling?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow.
It's the same.
Can you do, what about football squares? Can you do football squares?
Wait, what's football squares? Are you talking about?
You know, when you buy like a square.
Oh, the pull tabs?
No.
Like
when
at the bar.
A Super Bowl. You buy a square.
Okay.
Then they draw the numbers later. And if your name matches up, like they have the seven. It's 1 through 0.
Oh,
I've
never
10.
Seen that.
You've never played Super Bowl football squares?
No, never.
You put like $10 on it, you get $1 square or $5 a square.
Have you played?
And at every quarter, if it matches, if it's like 15
oh,
to
okay.
12. It'd be the 5 on the one team and 2 on the other. The
oh,
last
okay,
number.
Okay. Oh, wow.
You've never played that?
Never played that. I'll have to
do
go
do
that
do
with
you.
You.
White, do you go to white Super Bowl parties or black Super Bowl
parties? I didn't even know this. Yeah, I go to like, I guess it's a black Super Bowl party, so I guess we don't really
too
do
cheap,
that.
Huh?
I know, they're too cheap. We
I
don't
know black people didn't do that.
We just are excited somebody made great macaroni and cheese.
You're all winners.
You were all winners that
all
day,
winners,
you know?
There.
So.
God, I'm trying to think of the last time I went to a Super Bowl party. I think it was at Maria Hynek's house.
Oh, wow. That's been a minute. God.
Yeah.
She seems like she's blowing up in New York, huh?
Well, she's always been super super social.
Yeah,
a
seriously.
Social butterfly.
Super
so,
likable.
I mean, that's a weak point of most comedians is just talking to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's her strong suit. She's really good at talking to people. I mean, she's...
what's she doing? Is she writing for... somebody or
you know I haven't kept that close of tabs on her but
let's
I just
take a look at what she's doing.
Nigel, have you ever gotten sick of stand-up?
Oh yeah.
Have you ever left for a little bit?
I mean, I've never stopped. The only time I stopped doing stand-up was like 8 months in because I had jaw surgery.
Okay.
And my mouth was like wired shut for 6 weeks.
But
wow.
Is that that's the longest you ever gone without
and,
getting on stage?
Yeah, and I'm coming up on 10 years.
Damn, that's awesome.
Wow.
Have you ever gotten tired of it?
It's weird, like, the summer, like, always my summers have been pretty light usually because just bookings
mm-hmm.
are kind of less. And this summer I've done the least amount I've done in
mm-hmm.
a while. And I've been like, oh, it's kind
of
nice.
Dude, right?
Free
isn't
time,
it, though? Like, sometimes
free time,
when you get a free weekend.
Nice. But then I get these nights, I'm like, I want to
be out.
I want to go. I want to work on this.
Yeah.
And, but then part of me is like, well, for what? There's part of me that's like, for what goal?
Right.
Like, I mean, I just booked a feature spot in end of September. So
okay.
now I'm like, okay, I got something there, and I'm going to audition for Sick again. So I'm like, I have something to look forward to. But I guess what's hard for me is the ongoing of not knowing. There was like, I want to hit this, and I want to hit that. And now I'm like, well, I achieved those things, and now these other things seem unattainable until I hit other goals have to happen.
Like, it's tough,
right?
You gotta
get TV credits or something, and it's like, here in Seattle, I feel like it's too much. We have to wait for opportunities to come
up here, and then, it's not
like... If I was in LA, I'd be like, okay, well, go do this, because you don't know what'll happen. And here it's like...
Dude, Jeff Dye told me that once. He was like, can I be 100% real with you? He was like, you see how everybody's coming up to you tonight saying you had a great set? He was like, up here, that's all that is. When you're down there, somebody gives you a card, and you don't know, you know, and it could be a big opportunity to go do something else. So he was like, you should have been down here years ago, but... You know, it's never too late, man. And
now you're too old.
I know, right? Seriously. Now I have to play the stepdad in a movie. So it's fucking. It's interesting. I mean.
I'd be a stepdad.
Hell yeah.
Mark Wahlberg's a stepdad.
That's
true. No, he's not.
No, he's the dad. No, he's a stepdad.
No,
Will Ferrell.
I need to see that movie.
Yeah. Because there's a part two coming out now.
He's a new guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Mel Gibson's in
John Lithgow.
That's right.
Mel Gibson
made a comeback.
He doesn't like Jews.
That's what I'm saying. How do you, like, it's so funny, like. Not to be racist or anything, but like you can be a racist Mel Gibson and you can come back and restart your career.
Yeah.
But if you're like a minority and you do some shit like that, fucking done, son. Your career is over. What did you say about the Jewish community? Your ass is out of here. All right. Fuck.
You don't play football? Then we don't care.
We don't give a flying.
I don't know.
Well, you just gotta linger in obscurity for 7 years.
Yeah,
that's actually the statute of limitations on social pariah.
Wow,
7 years that... in.
Well, I can come back in 6.
There you go.
Yeah. So, well, no, I mean it's weird because he is in recovery and he said all that shit sober, I heard some interview where he's like. I hadn't had a drink in 10 years, and that's when I said all that crazy shit.
Wow.
And he was like, well, better go back to a meeting call my sponsor.
Dude, yeah, Chris Rock was talking about how, like, he was sitting at a table with Danny Glover and, like, just a bunch of, like, big celebrities that were black, and Mel Gibson came over, and he just sat with him, and this was before the incident, and started talking with him like it was a normal fucking day, man, and he said he was a cool dude. So.
Yeah.
Wait,
no,
did
he
ever?
Actually, they were all in a movie together, right?
He didn't say anything about black people, did he?
Yeah, he said they were all at a table. It was like all the black, like, elites.
Mel Gibson didn't say anything bad about black people, did he? I thought it was just.
He said, I hope you get raped by a pack of niggas, right? To his lady, yeah.
Wait, to his lady?
Yeah.
To the cop?
No, to the lady with.
That was like during that period as he left a long voicemail.
Voicemail, yeah.
Who hasn't said that on a voicemail?
Well, he had shit to work out. And
that's what I said to my ex-wife. Helped close the house.
You know, I want to thank you for closing on this house, but I hope you get you're like, whoa. Oh, man.
Well, I mean, it's weird because, like, there's nothing you can do if you know you're racist. There's nobody you could go to. There's no racist anonymous meeting where you can go, hey,
well, that's a bit
racist.
Right there. Racist anonymous.
I'm already working on that.
Oh,
you can't have it.
Damn it. I was like, that's a great sketch.
Where you come and you're like, well,
and I'm a racist.
What? You know, I'm a white guy in America. Of course, I'm a little racist.
Equal rights. Next generation.
Yeah. What's tolerated by one generation is usually accepted by the next.
I don't know. Well, I mean, this is something I've thought about on my life. And it was like when I was younger and I was like, I'm not racist at all.
Mm-hmm.
I actually said and did some kind of racist shit.
Everybody's a little racist.
And then, you know, as I got older, I'm like, just a little. I mean, like how Louis C.K. said it, it's benign. I'm not. Doing it intentionally or actively.
Right.
But there's, you know.
You're doing it while locking people in a room and masturbating.
Right.
That's when you're racist.
It's like, unconscious. It's
yeah, like who literally hasn't done an Indian accent at some point that was fucked up? You know what I mean? Like everybody has been there. So,
did you ever accidentally start doing a racist voice and catch yourself and go just like around the house and go, ah, no, don't do that,
dude? So like, there was this bit that I was working on, and it was about a real incident where I got solicited sex by like a little Vietnamese guy, and I was like telling the joke, and people were like, in the audience were like, do the accent. I was like, I'm gonna do the accent, that's racist. And then I tried it, and I did it with my like teeth out. I was like, okay, that's really racist. And like, you just find yourself, I mean, being a comic,
I started doing a funny Asian voice. Like, I just slowly started going into it at home,
right
in front of my daughter. And then she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, never mind.
Yeah, seriously.
I was like, oh, nope, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, like my nephew was doing an Indian accent, and I was like, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that. It's kind of messed up.
Ugh. This was like one of the most uncomfortable things that ever happened to me. Yeah. Was I was at my other grandmother's funeral on my mom's side. Mm-hmm. She lived in Blaine. She's Catholic. And so the Catholic priest came in to do the funeral, and he just had the most ridiculous Asian accent, like caricature from the 1950s that a white person would do of an Asian person, except he was Asian.
Hilarious.
And it was so over the top that I had to stop myself from laughing at my grandmother's funeral.
Man.
Because it wasn't the accent itself. It was the fact that he was a Catholic priest saying Catholic priest things with just a thick Chinese accent.
And you're expecting like an Irish type, or anything else.
And that, I mean, it was like, I don't know, I still chuckle about it.
No, but like, really, here's the thing. Society pretty much kind of teaches us these stereotypical things throughout life, as much as you don't want to pay attention to it. God, I was just at the beginning of this podcast, I was doing the African accent. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, how?
But I mean, we didn't say anything.
We didn't say anything.
That's your black privilege.
But you're black.
I'm black, but you know, blacks and Africans don't get along. Like,
it's true.
Yeah. Like, I remember being a teller at one point, and this lady came in, and she was like, I shouldn't do the accent. I'm not going to do the accent. She was like, I want to take out $500. And I was like, all right, just need your ID and your account number. And so she writes down her account number and signs it. I was like, oh, just still need your ID. And she's like, you're being racist. And I'm like, excuse me? I'm like, I don't know who you are. Like, why would I just give your money? She's like, no, he's being racist. Everybody, he's being racist. And I was like, holy
shit. Do you think
shit.
White people are just confused?
They like, were. They were like, do you not? And I literally, I snapped.
Like, they're both niggers. Yeah. Where's the one nigger? He's another nigger being racist.
Why are you giving your cousin that money?
Exactly right. And I was like, bitch, do you not see that we are the fucking same color? And like, my manager had to pull me to the back room and was like, whoa. So.
And then did he ask for her ID?
Yeah, he did. He was like, oh my God. So, it's okay when the white man asks. Thank you, Mr. White man.
Because he's in charge. He's in charge. God.
Well, it's weird because, like, the way that we use racism, we use it as, like, a catch-all for prejudice and discrimination and kind of all of those things. And then the actual definition of racism is different. Like, I've been thinking about...
You can't do the thing where someone's up. That's not what racist means. You mean prejudice.
Oh, my God. Right?
Well, like, it's this thing where I keep seeing white people do this where somebody will be like, you're racist, and they mean you're valuing somebody based on their race,
right?
But what white people hear when they hear you're racist is they hear you hate black people,
right?
And I think that's why they say, well, no, I don't, I have a black friend,
right? I hate Mexicans.
I don't hate black people, because they think that that's what racism means,
right?
But it means that you're valuing somebody based solely on your race. So when you go, no, I'm not, I have a black friend, you're valuing somebody based solely on their race. So you're doubling down on the fact that is a racist thing to say, but it's a totally normal thing to say if somebody's like, oh, you hate this group of people, and you go, well, no, I don't, I'm friends with
a ton of people
from that group.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly.
And so it's like we don't define the words we're using when we talk about stuff. We just assume that we're using the same word in the same way.
Right. I'm like, you know, I think this year was probably the first year where the whole pronoun thing really became a big thing. And it's like, I'll forget, but then I'll get like cussed out. You know what I mean? I'm like, yo,
have
man.
Have you been cussed out, really?
Not really cussed out,
by
but
me.
Yeah, well, by you.
By me correcting. they, motherfucker.
You, did I tell you they? But, like, I've had a few people stop me. I'm like, excuse me. No, they. I'd like to be called them, they, you know, these pronouns. I'm like, oh, my bad. You know, still new to this whole thing. Trying to understand. But it feels like very, like, excuse me. Yeah, no, they, them. And I'm like, I'm learning just like everybody else, man. It's like,
yeah, no, I mean, if I've been very lucky. I had always used they as a gender neutral third person,
right?
Instead of, you know, because technically in the English language you're supposed to say he or she,
right?
As a third person,
right?
And it is the third person neutral, which mm-hmm. is totally inappropriate because that's for inanimate objects,
right?
And so I'd always used they when the gender wasn't specific mm-hmm. and always gotten, you know, the red markings on my English papers about it. I'm like, I'm not
correct.
That, this makes the most sense to me.
Oh, correct. You should come go back at them now.
Yeah. That they're
well, hey, motherfucker, now I was
look
just progressive.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, I my mom explained trans people to me when I was young and mm-hmm. I just had no idea what she was talking about. And I had a trans friend in high school who was an identical twin.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trans and her identical twin was not. Right. And so I was exposed to all that stuff, but I was still, you know, like if you go back to the early 90s, mm-hmm. anti-trans stuff was just like there was no even second thought that might even hurt somebody's feelings. That
right,
was like.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the target. They were like, well, clearly nobody cares about them, so we can just say whatever the fuck we want about, mm-hmm. you know. And so I had some transphobic jokes, and a very nice Portland comic was like, hey, maybe you shouldn't tell those. And this was 4 years ago.
You know, it's just a learning process. I mean, you think about this, right? How many older white people were told, hey, I want to be called colored. Then your birth certificate just said,
yeah.
So it's like they had to learn to say African-American. Then they had to learn to say black. And it's like, of course, you get all these and you're trying to learn and not to say Oriental and to say Asian. You know, it's like, well, they're from the Orient. Yeah, but are they, motherfucker? No, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was what we decided what it was called.
Yeah. So, you know, like, so it was like.
But then they go like, I know some Asian people. They get mad if you call them Asian. Like, no, they don't.
Yeah.
Well, that's only because they're racist against other Asians.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, in Japan, there's only two races. There's Japanese and not Japanese.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't realize
is that
how
true?
Much. Well, they beef with China,
right?
Yeah, well, that Japanese don't really. I don't know.
I mean,
feel
they're
like,
fine now, probably. But.
Well, in Asia, they certainly don't have any problems with being super racist to black people.
Yeah, no shit. You see that Tide commercial? The
fuck? Yeah. Well, I mean, that's you know, people forget that the American experience is very unique. That the reason we are so sensitive is because we've had so many problems. And so countries, even like Canada, you can tell way more race jokes up there because mm-hmm. they got rid of slavery way before we did.
Right.
And so it's not, they didn't have the same kind of tension mm-hmm. and wounds that we had.
Right. What's your, go ahead.
Where, yeah, I mean, like so much of the world got rid of slavery like 100 years before we did. And, you know, and we were still like, you know, you're only 3/5 of a person. And that was after months of arguing where once I was like, no, black people are definitely people. And the other side was like, black people are definitely not people.
Right.
And they're like, all right, well, they're at least 90% people. And they're like, well, we'll say they're 25% people. And they just kept
back
arguing
until
they got to 3/5. And they're like, okay.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah. And so, you know. Yeah, we really wish they had gone farther and not compromised.
Right.
But with people who, with somebody who was not going to acknowledge that black people were people at all,
right.
It was a huge victory to get to 60%.
Right.
Because they could have just been like, fuck it, no, we're gonna stay where we're at.
Right.
Well, I always think, like, it's funny, you hear the people say like, you know, that was so long ago and you need to get over it. And then I'm like, you, like, somebody didn't pick you up for prom.
Yeah, seriously.
And you never let that go. Why do you think I should let go a living document that's there that I'm reading about all the time? You know, and people, they don't get, this is what I keep reading today. It's like, how come over the last 8 years nobody was complaining about Confederate statues? I'm like, They fucking were.
Yeah, we've been complaining
for like 50 years. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? I've been constantly complaining about that. I mean, I posted the story. I used to think Dukes of Hazzard was a racist show.
Me too.
I saw the Confederate. I'm like, oh, fucking racist.
Yeah, I always used to look at the Confederate flag and be like, okay, I'm clearly not welcome here.
Right.
You know, like.
Yeah, it was the General Lee. And I'm like, I don't know. I thought it was racist. It actually took me, if it wasn't for Daisy Duke Shorts, mm-hmm. I never would have watched that show to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, they seem like good guys for racists. Right. You know? Like, and then they had an episode where they had a black friend, and you're like, oh, they aren't racist. They just have pride in the South.
Dude, it's fascinating. Oh, go ahead.
You know who nobody acknowledges is that Stone Cold Steve Austin has totally been telling off people who are Confederates, and he also told Donald Trump to go fuck himself.
Did
basically.
He really?
Yeah, there was like,
wait,
there's a whole.
Currently, he's doing this.
You no,
or was this back in the like
this
early
was when
90s.
Trump was on,
like in
on
the 2000
WWE.
Okay, like in the
and Stone Cold Steve Austin is like, I don't give a fuck how much money you have.
Yeah.
I'll still kick your ass. and people just forgot that happened, but it was a really beautiful moment.
Wait, but when was he fighting
the Confederates?
That was recently. That was there was a comment from him where somebody was like, it's our heritage and we want to protect it. And he's like, they were all shitty people. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, seriously. Way to go, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I knew I liked
and,
you.
And you're like, wow, I actually didn't realize how much I like Steve.
Oh, yeah, he's seriously. Been very progressive about, he was progressive about gay marriage. He was outspoken about it early on. Like, he's very liberal.
You know?
And you don't think about it.
It's so fascinating to me, though. It's like, these people don't want to let go of whatever it is, you know, and like there's even people up here who are like, oh, it's our heritage. I'm like, motherfucker, you've lived in Seattle your whole life. You've never had anything to do with the South, you know, but.
Well, it makes them feel important. I mean, it does. Winning friends and influencing people, which was written like the 1930s, that the thing that people want the most is to feel important. It's the same feeling you get from mugging somebody or running a corporation.
Right.
They're getting the same feeling of it. Like if you put a gun in somebody's face and ask them for their wallet, you're suddenly very important.
Wow.
For good or bad. And the same thing with running a company or, you know, being a father or this, that, or whatever.
Get the endorphins.
I mean, racism plays into that, where if you think that you're superior to an entire group of people, you're automatically important.
Yeah.
And if you can place yourself above somebody else, then the fact that your life is shitty, you're like, yeah, but at least I'm important.
Right. There's it's funny when you, like, they broke it down, like, at the bank, they had these three gentlemen come in from the NAACP, and they were talking about how close socioeconomically poor white people and poor black people are, and if they were just to get on the same page, they could literally change the way that, you know, the whole government works. But because one group wants to feel more empowered than the other, they'll never, you know, they always look at this group as the lesser instead of, you know, they're equal where they could.
Yeah,
you know.
That if they work together and compromise.
Right.
And the working class could actually make, if they just stopped showing up to work until they got $15 an hour, shit would change.
It really would. Yeah.
You know, but somebody's like, well, you know, I don't want to rock the boat and it's the same thing with the Republicans. There is such a great moment for one Republican to stand up and go, no, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Seriously. No. Are you listening to the horse shit coming out of the president's mouth? He's full of shit. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
You can fire me. I don't care. Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
And it takes that first guy to do it. And then somebody else go, you know what? He's right. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, seriously.
Before people will start doing it. But nobody wants. But as soon as you do that, your career is over.
Right.
If it doesn't work out. It's a mutiny.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, luckily John McCain's at the end of his career, probably.
He's got nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
No. He's dying of cancer. He's going to fucking take the whole thing down.
Yeah.
And be a hero twice over.
Right. Yeah, totally.
He's a double war hero. I didn't buy it. I think he.
You didn't?
I think it was a setup.
Was it?
Because Republicans wanted out. They did not want that to pass.
Oh, yeah.
And they gave him an opportunity. How about you be your maverick again? That's how you're going to go out. Save our ass.
But then, you know,
come vote no.
The fucked up thing is the two women who did it barely received any credit because without those two,
They've been standing up.
Jenny, is it Jenny Wang or you know Jenny?
Jenny Wang
or Jenny Wong?
What?
I don't know.
Asian?
Yeah, she's been on like MSNBC and shit. She's she had a great tweet.
How does she say it?
I don't know.
Is there an accent?
No. Fuck you. Oh man.
Power. I was really. I hope it's not like I was never a good leg athlete.
Right.
Obviously, in high school, even I was played soccer for a bit. Then I was on the bench like my senior year most of the time. So I've really been my daughter out there pushing her to do soccer. She likes it now, but like I've realized that man, you know, I'm living vicariously through her.
Right.
Doing stuff, and actually, I went and got my ref license.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And now, like, now I'm wondering, am I doing this to make myself feel powerful? I can tell a bunch of kids, no, you can't do that.
Have you ever reffed anything?
I did it once for a game because, for a half of a game because
it was soccer.
Nobody was there. Yeah.
Dude.
And I was like, oh, that was fun.
That was my first job I've ever had was at
really?
13 being a soccer referee. And I tell you what, parents are fucking
oh,
assholes.
Oh, I've heard that. Yeah.
Dude, like. You know, here's the thing. I was a small kid, too. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I called somebody for a penalty, and I was like, hey, guys, blah, blah, blah. You got to, like, you know, let's clean it up. Da, da, da. And then this parent's like, which kid is yours, ref? Which kid is yours? I'm like, I'm 13, motherfucker. Like, are you being racist? Are you being, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was crazy, though. Like, they get so aggressive that sometimes you got to send them out to their cars.
At 13.
At 13, man. And it's like, I can't fight any of these people. And I'm like, you know, like I'd have to talk to them.
Wait, but you were 13. So what age were these kids?
These kids were like 7. Like 7 and 6. I'm like, your kid's not going to be pro. Like, calm down. You know, like,
well,
shit isn't.
It's an extension of yourself.
Exactly.
Your kid's success is, you know, an extension of your success. Mm-hmm. So if your kid's a loser.
Right.
Then, you know, like that's your legacy.
Totally.
And so when you die. That's the next, whatever your last name is.
You're dying and you're like, oh, my son's a loser.
And so, like,
but
you
at least
know.
He's good at magic.
My dad was, like, a huge, like, I kid you not, baseball every day. Like, you know, for years I was, like, on all-star teams, travel teams, all this stuff. And by the time I got to, like, the end of high school, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. This isn't, I mean, I'm good, but it's not fun anymore. I don't enjoy it. I mean, I probably could have been making millions, but, I mean.
Shit. Were you that good?
I was pretty damn good. I played everything except for first, man. Like, it was...
Wait, up until high school?
Until the end of high school. Like, and then I went to a different high school and tried out for that team, right? And literally, like, the coach pulled me aside, like, second to last day before the end of tryouts. He was like, hey, I feel horrible saying this, but I already had my roster picked out before the year began. He was like, you're one of the best players I've ever seen in my life. And at that moment, I was like, fuck. Clearly isn't how good you are or what you know. It's who you know and if you're in
what?
On the system.
Are you serious? He,
swear to God.
He said he already had his roster full?
He said he was like,
the tryouts were a sham?
Pretty much. He was like, yeah. He was like, I have no doubt that you'll play, you know, great college ball, maybe even pros, but I just don't have a spot for you on this team because I've already had these kids in my system.
Yeah, but if you were better,
dude,
why wouldn't he?
So random. I mean, like, here's the thing. I was beating everybody in foot races. It was me and this... like Asian kid who were the fastest, catching every ball, you know, hitting everything else. And it was just like, that was like, I kid you not, that was my probably lowest moment in sports because I was like, fuck, you could be this good and still get denied.
I think that was dumb. I think like a lot of coaches would have been like, somebody just lost their fucking spot.
Seriously, man. Yeah.
Do you think that was a big change in your life?
I think it was. I think it was one of those moments where I realized like, damn, you could be the best at something and it still doesn't matter. Like, it's literally, I mean, and it made me think about it. I was like, maybe I don't want to play sports anymore. Like, is this how it's going to be? Because all these other kids are being scouted.
So what if you...
What a terrible system. I think I'll be a stand-up comedian.
I know, right? Seriously, right?
It's all about fairness.
Right. Oh, God, man.
Did you... Like, I've never heard this story.
Oh, you never heard this?
No.
I rarely ever talk about it.
Like... Do you think if he had said, you know what, you're better than these kids, I'm actually going to give you a spot.
Yeah.
That you would have kept playing?
Oh, I probably would have.
And then would have tried out in college?
I kid you not. I feel like, you know, like there's some people, because I was such a utility player, the fastest, I would steal bases every time I get on a base. You know what I mean? And it was just like, and I could pitch, I could do it all, right? And I kid you not, I probably would have gotten scouted for something towards college, but I was just like, I don't want to do this shit anymore. You know what I mean? And it's like, I feel like it did. It crushed me to that point where I was like, fuck sports. I'm done. I'm going to do something else. And so,
wow.
Yeah, man. So crazy how one person can like shut your shit down like that. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, and I honestly think a little bit, it kind of sabotaged me and my dad's relationship because I think he was always banking on me to be a baseball player. Yeah.
It's like I've invested too long.
Yeah, seriously, right? And so,
but it's a weird thing to invest in because you are always like literally one injury away from
that's what I'm saying in
done.
Any sport.
Isn't that like one of the most famous Bill Cosby bits?
Oh, with where he thanks his mom,
training
yeah, yeah,
the kid,
yeah,
and the kid. He's mm-hmm. like, thanks, mom.
Seriously, hi, mom. Just want to thank my mom. And yeah, no, it's crazy though, man. I mean, sports is, I mean, that's the name of the game, but even in entertainment, man, I mean,
you know what's crazy?
Yeah.
I haven't heard about Justin Bieber or Miley Cyrus or Kim Kardashian at all this year.
I've heard about Miley Cyrus. Ugh. You didn't hear what happened? What?
No.
Her photos got hacked, and she has, like, videos or, like, pictures of her pissing, like...
On people?
Just outside in random places with her friend, recording or taking pictures.
Why does she have these photos?
Who knows,
she's
man.
She's a millionaire. Yeah. And she's, like, 22 still.
And so another hack happened. So, basically, Tiger Woods, they got nudes of him, his girl Lindsey Vonn, Miley Cyrus, and then the chick from Twilight or something. It was on Yahoo News yesterday.
It's like, why? You know, this is why I don't become famous.
I haven't heard anything about I haven't heard about anybody dying.
Right.
Racism.
Jerry Lewis.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't even know who Jerry Lewis is?
Hello, nice lady. Are you serious?
Oh, that guy. All
right. You call yourself a comic. I'm just kidding. Poor Dick.
I never did stand up.
Yeah.
It took like 3 weeks to find out Chris Cornell died.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like, wait, he died? And then like people were like, yeah, like a month ago.
Wait, dude, how did you not know? Where have you not
he's
been
just
on
not
social
in the news.
You
know?
Yeah, no, I went to work and I saw it on like the cover of an old newspaper.
Yeah.
From like a month earlier. Yeah, no, I haven't.
Like, I'm going to be shook up once Prince dies. I just know that.
I'm telling you that when Ordurus Arungus died of a heroin overdose at 50, the lead singer of Guar, that's when I gave up on music.
Oh, man. It's fascinating. You know what? I feel like that's the way to live, though, is like, you got to detach
heroin
from this
50.
Shit. Right? You got to detach from social media and everything else, man. Just drive yourself crazy. I mean, like, I won't say this guy's name, but did you see who I said?
Not really. But
okay.
My old friend.
Yes. So there's a comic who all he does is troll every single liberal thing that anybody says, and it's mostly Chris Rodriguez and Silas's shit that they'll post, and this one guy just racist troll just in on their comic.
Wait, PC?
PC.
PC motherfucker.
Yeah, PC motherfucker, yeah. So PC will come in and just say the most, like, and the way you, like, the more and more you look at him, he's like, the more and more you think that he lives in his grandparents'
He does. He lives in his parents'
he
attic.
He lives in his parents' attic, I'm yeah. sure. And he's a car salesman. You know what I mean? And like,
is he?
Oh.
Is
oh, we're he? Talking about a different person.
Yeah, yeah. I'll show you the picture of him because yeah. I don't want to.
Oh, your phone will crack.
They probably will. I know, right? I've been awakened.
His forehead won't even fit across your screen unless
dude.
You go.
And I wonder, like, people like this just wait online for shit to happen. And I'm just like, dude.
I want shit to happen.
Right.
Yeah, when you, like, mouthed his name, I thought it was, Oh, that's a person
he's
I have
comic.
No idea who that
he's
is.
He's not a comic.
He's not a comic. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
you can't
well
say
that,
you've done it
well,
twice.
Well, he did some open mics. Nobody ever wanted to use him because he would try
right.
to. The problem is trying to do conservative humor.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, and I taught him, you need to try to get people to relate to you, but, you know, you can't make the poor people the butt of your joke.
Right.
People
and you can't
get
do
it.
The shit where you're like, hey, Manny, why do black people do this? Like, I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? Why do they name people Deshaun? I'm like, that's been done a million times, man. I'm like, what the fuck?
And it's, I don't know what happened. I mean, come out of the woodworks. I started on. There's some people I just have started on following because I'm like, I'm just gonna get in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that
like,
was,
I don't want to fight.
That was I was in LA and this guy was bombing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, "Yeah, leave it to the guy who works 30 hours a week. That these liberals, they just don't get the." And you're like, "Oh man, he works 30 hours a week. Wow." Like, I also work 30 hours a week. Yeah. It's just, it was such a weird, because it was like this thing where he was like, oh, we don't like him because he's being conservative. But it was really just that he wasn't funny.
Right.
Right.
And I almost wanted to be like, you called your Asian wife the most derogatory word for Chinese people.
Right.
And that was the joke.
Yeah.
That you can call your wife that. I'm still waiting for you to explain why that's funny that you would say a terrible thing about the thing about the person you love.
This is the one that always gets me. Like, I don't understand how you can be an asshole for so long to people, but then come back around and try to be nice and pretend like nothing ever happened. Like, that's hard for me.
It's
and
a psychotic break.
There's, you know, I'm doing that thing where I get too far from the mic.
No.
You know, drug addiction and alcoholism are weird. I mean, I treated some people really, really poorly when I was drinking.
Right.
And I was lucky enough to do it away from other comedians.
Yeah.
To total strangers in places that nobody else would record it.
Right.
And, you know, there's some things I'm really deeply embarrassed that I said and did. And I'm just glad that it wasn't in front of my peers.
Right.
And, you know, when it creates delusion, it creates, you know, things where you just get angry and nothing's your fault and you're the victim.
Right.
And if everyone just lived their lives by the set of rules that you haven't told anybody, the world would be perfect.
Yeah.
And when they don't, you get upset and you say shitty, dumb things to them. And this is a reoccurring theme in AA and NA meetings about drugs and alcohol is the shitty things I did because I thought nothing was my fault.
Right.
And I was a huge asshole and I thought I was so nice to people. And it's this weird reoccurring theme that's part of addiction you know, once those people quit and sober up and work a program, they end up being really nice, really helpful, generous people that it seems like they've totally changed who they are. But when they were using their garbage, they will steal, cheat, lie from their best friend. I mean, they did terrible things.
Yeah. That's it's so fascinating. When you peel off the layers, it's more understandable, right?
Yeah.
When you look like from the outside, like I do, you know what I mean? I'm just seeing, oh, this person's being an asshole, right?
Yeah.
Case in point, I was talking to my wife about this. My cousin has 10 kids.
Yeah.
Right? Fuck, I already said my cousin. So, but whatever. Okay, he has 10 kids. But from the outside, it just looks like, oh, he's being irresponsible. Yeah. But people don't know. He's not going to listen to this. Never listens to it anyways. That he was locked up in jail for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. So some people think he may have been sexually assaulted. So are you overcompensating for something else?
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, it's more understandable. Still not right, but it's more understandable.
People who are victims of abuse end up committing very similar forms of abuse.
Right.
And so, you know, when you go, like all this stuff about anti-bullying, well, the bully is also a victim.
Right.
They're a victim of something else that's going on, and they're acting out.
Yeah.
And so for you to just go after them is like, you know, shooting the water at the flames and not the base of the fire.
Yeah, like the bullied become the bully a lot of times. Like my uncle was bullied by my aunt for the longest time. Like, kid you not, my sister was over spending the night at their house one time with my little cousin, and he made everybody breakfast in the morning. And she woke up, got everybody ready, and he was like, oh, I made you guys breakfast. And she was like, we don't want that shit, and just left and took him to, like, to a different, like, breakfast place. And I was like, wow, that is, like, low. But then they started finding out that he was picking on people at work. Like, and it got to the point where he was picking on a really buff guy. And this buff guy, like, just was like, he fucking had it and chased my uncle around the fucking place to try to kill him. It's like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I can see where you get in a place of power and you start to abuse that power and you become a bully.
I am going to yellow card so many children.
You can't take it out on the person you're married to.
Right.
And so, you know, you bottle it up inside and it comes out because you feel like you're out of control. Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to, like you said, compensate. And that happens, you know, with so many sexual things and you know, physical violence and mm-hmm. just, you know, you want to feel good about yourself. And the easiest thing to do
right.
is put somebody else down because that yeah. means you're immediately above them.
It's crazy.
To have that kind of control over somebody. And I feel like people often just see that guy being a dick
mm-hmm.
and they don't think about all the shit that led up to that. I have this theory that when we get rid of traffic, society will actually be bearable.
Mm-hmm.
That spending an hour in traffic every day actually makes everyone you meet a mean asshole
yeah.
because they had to put up with so much shit just to get to work,
yeah.
then work 8 hours, then leave work and go through the same thing just to get home. And then when you meet that person, you're like, wow, that guy seems like a huge jerk.
Let me ask you this. Do you do Uber or Lyft? Have you ever done it?
I did. Not anymore.
Do you ever find that people in like traffic were more assholes sitting in the back, or was it more of a
it was really like very particular types of people.
Yeah.
And it was usually drunks.
Right.
You know, like traffic wasn't that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I had to drive somewhere for my own purposes and be in traffic, right. it would be really stressful.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was driving somebody else, it wasn't my destination.
Right.
So it was the job to take them there. And so being in traffic really wasn't all that stressful. And it wasn't stressful for them because they weren't the ones driving. So mm-hmm. it really was that disconnect of me, like if I had to get there and it was my thing,
yeah.
then I have to own all the stress. But we kind of split it in half, the right. fact that it's their destination, but they don't have to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care. Like, yeah. I'm just driving them.
Exactly.
I'm getting paid to do it.
Right.
I would often get people who were, like, late for shit. Oh, I hate when they're, like, they're running late. Oh, I have to be there in 5 minutes. And you're like, it's 15 minutes away on a good day. And it's like, you're going to rate me low. I would find... If I got somebody who was running late,
yeah,
my got dinged on my stars because they yeah. would find a reason to blame me.
Yeah.
Like on why they wow. didn't make it. You're like, because they would try to defer their blame to someone yeah. else.
Because it's not their fault.
Right.
Nobody wants to take the responsibility of things.
And then I would try to defuse it sometimes when I would like, as soon as I picked them up and they said they were going, I'm like, well, I'll do my best, but if we can't make it, you know, just tell them that crazy Uber driver, it was all his fault. You know, like, give him my number.
Oh, shit. Okay, so let me ask you this. Let's go on away from this dark stuff we've been talking about. How's the comedy game going?
It's weird because we started this episode with Nazi flags
right?
and concentration camp. but we talked about traffic. And
yeah.
we were like, wow, what a dark topic.
Let's not talk about the darkness of traffic. Let's go back to Nazis.
Yeah, let's go back to Nazis.
Let's happy story.
So how's the comedy career been going?
It's getting a lot better.
Good. Good.
Things have been, well, I'm 19 months sober.
Okay.
And that had a lot to do with it. You know, that I kind of drank a couple of years away.
Yeah.
When I really needed to be putting myself out there. And so I'm getting back on the horse. I'm up to, you know, 45 pretty comfortably.
Oh, yeah.
I had a great 45-minute set over the weekend.
Nice.
On some, you know, it was a backyard gig in Chelan,
right?
And I was just like, oh god, this is gonna suck. We're outside, there's
yeah
it, you know, it's still daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably my best headlining set ever.
That's awesome, dude. And they're just vibing with you. And
yeah, and you know, it's weird, like going back to something we talked about probably fucking a half hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
When did I not like comedy? It was actually when I was working the most.
Right.
It's 2012 when I was getting paid to do comedy every week. Mm-hmm. And that I didn't have any other job. I just did comedy for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
I made exactly $10,000.
Mm-hmm. That was your only job?
Yeah.
Wow.
For the whole year.
I mean, I
made exactly $10,000. If I had lost my wallet, I would have only made four figures that year.
Damn.
Like it was tight.
Wow.
It was a tight year. And I hated doing comedy because every place I played, it was a new person I had to impress. I had to do the A game.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing the same set in the same order, and I couldn't really work on new stuff. I was
right.
on the road so much, I really wasn't doing open mics.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get to the new gig, I didn't want to just throw in a brand new joke.
Right.
Even in the half hour, I was just trying to get my legs as a feature.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wore myself out that whole year, and I ended it doing sick, which was a terrible idea. Because I was so burnt out from touring over the summer that when I got to sick, I was just reciting my act.
Yeah.
And I didn't do good.
No like energy behind it. Yeah.
And, you know, I was up against pros.
Mm-hmm.
So then 2 years later, when I did San Francisco, I went into the last night in first place.
Yeah.
And then I got bumped out for, you know.
Right.
Shows happen.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, you know, it is very much like they say, peaks and valleys. Like, I've gotten some really amazing gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird. When I got sober, people who hadn't booked me in years and people who had never booked me came out of nowhere and booked me.
Mm.
And there was no way they knew I stopped drinking.
Right.
It was just a random coincidence. And I'm so much funnier now that I quit drinking.
Right.
And, I don't know. Things have been, this is the best it's ever been.
Dude.
I don't know if you guys know, but I'm dating Claire Weber.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she is just the most positive.
Oh, I love that, man.
Supportive person. And that has really boosted my confidence
right.
in my writing and creativity.
Mm-hmm.
That she's just a great person to work off of.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
Including being a girlfriend.
Dude.
And so things have just been out of debt.
Dude, yeah.
Paid off my car.
Dude, awesome.
So it's weird because the world is just going to shit, and my life has been, this is the best year I've had since like before 9/11.
Dude, that's awesome. So happy for you, man.
Yeah. And that's what we call white privilege. All right, Nigel, it's been great having you. We're kind of crunching for time here.
Yeah.
This was awesome coming in.
Yeah.
You know, even though we talked about some darkness, I feel like we had, you know, like it was lighthearted.
It was
lighthearted darkness.
It's always good to see you, man. And
it's been way too long.
Way too long.
We, you know, really palled around a lot back when I fucking moved here.
Me, you, Joe Hicks.
Dude. Way back in the day.
Voodoo Chicken.
Yeah,
yeah, I wasn't here.
Yeah. this young fella.
Right, this newbie to the game. Noob.
Red card for both of you. Flaunt that power.
Anything you want to promote? Anything you want to...
I am going to be at Laugh Lines in New Westminster, British Columbia
this
weekend.
Okay.
Don't bring your Nazi flag.
I'm actually vacuuming out the whole fucking thing and cleaning out my car, making sure there's like literally nothing in there but my bag.
They
search for anything, I'm just like, there's nothing in there.
That's right.
Except my Statue of Lee.
Exactly.
All right. Black and a half.
Black and a half.
And me.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.